Herring are one of Alaska's most plentiful fish. During spring, Pacific herring spawn in shallow, vegetated coastal areas from the Panhandle to the Bering Sea, turning the water milky and attracting a host of predators, including people. Portland State University researcher Tom Thornton says it's impossible to underestimate the importance of the species in the region.
You know, hundreds of people that go out each year to gather herring spawn. It's kind of like the first fruit of the spring season. It's when the productive cycle begins again. It's a veritable festival of people, of animals, marine mammals, birds, all of which feed on the herring. So it's incredibly important, not just to people, but to the whole marine food web.
Despite the importance of Pacific herring, there's not been a comprehensive study of the species in Southeast Alaska. Thornton says his team of researchers is trying to incorporate a number of techniques to determine what historic herring stocks might have been. Anthropologists, biologists, and archaeologists are working together to assemble a picture of traditional herring populations, including where they spawned and what can be done to reestablish populations in some areas. He says the overall goal of the project is to have a more precise idea of how herring populations have behaved over time in the region. Thornton's team is conducting interviews throughout the region to take advantage of local knowledge about traditional spawning areas. He says forums have been conducted in Ketchikan, Sitka, and Juneau, as well as phone interviews in more remote communities. His team is also reanalyzing samples from midden piles at archaeological sites around Southeast Alaska.
There are hundreds of documented archaeological sites, some of them of great antiquity in Southeast, going back up to 10,000 or more years. And quite a few of them have faunal remains, including fish remains, but very few of them have been examined for their herring content.
Thornton says incorporating multiple disciplines in the research process should help in gaining a more complete understanding of the species.
It's really an attempt to bring science, history, and anthropology all together under one project and hopefully get them to speak to each other and to the contemporary management situation.
Thornton is using biological data collected during Alaska's territorial days to help determine what herring stocks in Southeast may have been prior to modern management techniques. He says early data from commercial fisheries is also playing a role in his research.
The harvest of the reduction plants, of which there were more than a dozen in Southeast Alaska in the late 19th to mid 20th century, herring reduction plants, which took massive amounts of herring with large seines and process them into oil for the most part, but also fish or fertilizer, plant food.
According to the Alaska Department of Fish and Game, in 1882, a single reduction plant at Killisnoo in Chatham Strait produced 30,000 gallons of herring oil. In the first part of the 20th century, the reduction industry continued to grow, reaching its peak in 1928 when nearly 80,000 tons of herring were harvested, the majority going to reduction plants. By the late 1960s, competition from reduction plants in Peru drove plants in Alaska out of business. Thornton says retired fish and game biologist Fritz Funk is examining the impact of the early fishery on today's stocks. Today, the commercial harvest of herring centers around the Sacro fishery, one of the most lucrative limited entry fisheries in the state. This year, commercial harvesters took a record 15,000 tons of herring in less than 8 hours during two openings in Sitka Sound. A record 1,500 tons was caught in a single net. At $550 a ton, plus bonuses for high roe content, that single set brought in about $1 million. In addition to being one of the most lucrative fisheries in the state, herring harvest is also one of the most strictly regulated. Openings last only hours, with fish and game observers monitoring the catch throughout. Although the state manages the fishery conservatively, Thornton says there is another question that should be answered.
So the question is kind of a working hypothesis is, are we actually managing now depleted stocks? In other words, we may be managing the stocks now in a conservative way, but when we started managing them in a kind of super scientific way through the state fish and game and so on, were they already depleted?
Thornton says his team has identified some areas where stocks are significantly depleted in comparison to years past. He also says some areas have seen an increase in numbers. However, the general trend is toward lower numbers. He says the study should help determine why herring populations have changed.
In the end, we should have a better knowledge of where herring spawned and massed historically versus where they do now. And then in areas where they spawned, we should have, and do not now, we should have some very good observational recordings of how and why herring discontinued their spawning in those particular areas, what the impacts were that caused them to move out of those areas. And then obviously we'll have potentially some insights into potential restoration of herring spawning areas.
Thornton says the study, funded by the North Pacific Research Board, began last fall and should be completed by the end of next year. In Ketchikan, I'm Alec Dickinson.